Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I am your host. Thank you for tuning in. If my count is correct, this is episode 222, and I'm very, very happy to have back in the cave. Finally, it's been well overdue, one of my original podcast co-hosts, the host of the Fastball Special, the booker of Sketchomania, the new professional longboarder, none other than Mr. Martin Slam Duncan. Martin, how's it going, It's been a long time.
What's up, Shane, and other... listeners.
What's up, Shane? Yeah, the only listener. He's what should we just message him and tell him to come on, because he's gonna be upset that we did this without him.
Whatever. Grumpy.
We'll do a love and hate episode.
Yeah, everything, his chance.
Everything that Martin loves and everything that Shane hates. It'll be a nice balance.
Yes.
Yeah. So how's it going, buddy? How have you been holding up? I know we were talking a little bit before I pressed record, but how are you keeping? What are your spirits like?
Good. I'm doing all right. I'm lucky I get to work during this time, you know, so it hasn't impacted me like really financially.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, there's obviously a lot of other impacts. Like, I miss people. I miss seeing people. I miss seeing family and that things, but, you know, kind of in the same boat as everybody. But in terms of, you know, it could be a lot worse. Let's just say that. It could be a lot worse. But I'm you know, I'm optimistic.
Yeah.
Some good news lately, right? Vaccine's on the way. You know, or people have already started taking it. It's showing 95%, up to 95% effective, which is awesome. And there's, I think, another three vaccines in the final stages of testing. So I think we may be seeing the end of it, or at least back to normalcy by end of year.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning when everything started and we shut down initially, that sort of back to simpler things was somewhat of a good refresh or reset button, but after a while you can start to see the toll that it's taking on everybody, right? It's like this little aggravation that we all have got in us in some capacity, and everyone's going through something different, whether it's their job, whether it's not seeing family, whether it's a lot of people have lost loved ones in this past year, and they couldn't mourn or grieve the normal way. There's all these different tensions that have built up. Like 2020 was something else, but the positivity is good. That's always good.
Yeah. I mean, we don't really have a choice.
That's it. No, you're right.
That's the way I see it, right? It's easy to say, but we could choose to be all, you know, pissy and moany. And, you know, again, everybody has different impacts. You know, you could just look ahead. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. We got podcasts. We got comic books. We got longboarding.
You know what? All jokes aside, I know that me and Shane bust your chops about stuff. But I got to say, the fact that you bought a longboard and are practicing, I think that's so cool, though. Honestly, like, why not? Honestly, why not? Yeah. What's stopping us from doing stuff that we want to do? Okay, yeah, we might be, if we fall, it might hurt a little bit more, but you know what?
Yeah, whatever.
Get out there, get some yeah, man. I applaud it. You know what? Grab life by the balls and just...
Whatever.
Yeah, take control of that bitch. I applaud you.
The reason why I even started this, it wasn't even kind of a thing that I always wanted to do or anything like that. It was, we're actually going to get one for my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get him off, like, it's also been tough for kids, right? Like, he's 13 and he's at that age and he can't see his friends, and his, like, all he does is he's just, like, he does his homework and he does video games and he's in front of screens all day. So I want to get him, like, you know, to do more physical things to, you know. And so we're getting him a longboard and some gear, like safety gear for Christmas. And so I'm like, well, you know, I'm worried he's not going to even try it if it's just by himself. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it with him. So I'm like, if I could do it, he could do it.
That's awesome.
So that's all it is about, right? That's all it was originally. Now I just love it. I'm yeah. like addicted to it, man.
Is it fun?
I try to go out every day. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing, as Chaz would say.
That's right. No, hey, man, good for you. I'd be too scared of hurting myself, but sometimes you got to do that stuff that you think about doing and give it a chance, and you never know. It might be just a hobby you pick up. You're the professional hobbyist. I applaud you for that. Yeah, you're into everything. I don't know how you do it.
Pretty much. I'm actually doing a lot better than I thought I was. I thought I wouldn't even like get on top of the board, but like day two, I was like zooming around, so it wasn't so bad. It's one of those things like when I started martial arts, like you see, like especially when you start something new, you see like the advancements much faster, right? Because you know, as opposed to if you've been doing something for 20 years, you're not going to see a huge leap in advancement in something from like, you know, last week to this week, right? Because you've been doing this for 20 years.
Right.
But because this is brand new, like in 5 days, I saw a huge difference from like day one to day five. So it gives you a little bit more incentive to, okay, well, I can see this now. What's it going to be like in 2 weeks? What's it going to be like in 4 weeks? So I still have a lot of incentive to go out there and so much to learn and stuff. But it's pretty fun. I think the neighbors think I'm crazy, but that's okay.
Who cares? You're happy. They can think you're crazy. You're happy. That's all that matters. Did you like do snowboarding or anything like that growing up to make
no.
you?
No. Nothing. I don't even skate.
Wow. Good for you. Hey, man.
I did nothing of that. None of that.
Wow.
Anyway, longboard talk. That's, Shane's going to like it.
Yeah, good. I wouldn't have the courage just because I'm scared of falling. I broke an elbow or
you have?
Not broken elbow. I fractured. I fractured my elbow. I hyperextended it goofing around at work, and it changed my appreciation for safety gear and not falling because, you know.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, when you, especially as you get older, it's harder to recover. So, but I've snowboarded before and skied and skate and all that kind of stuff. So to see someone who's never done that and try longboarding, hey man, good for you. What the hell?
It's all right.
And you've been doing a lot of 3D printing too, right?
I love it. Well, I'm into miniatures and painting and stuff like that. So I've been like making. Well, I make a whole bunch of stuff actually. It's just it's been going long stop for about half a year, pretty much.
What made you get into it in the first place?
I play a lot of like miniature games, like hobby games and stuff like that. So if you're a part of that, you see a lot of people making stuff for it. I thought it was cool. And then I started reading about it and seeing how, you know, it's not that expensive in the end. Like there's an initial cost, but then after that, it's not that bad. And you could just make so many things that you couldn't believe. Like I'm teaching, I teach a lot of martial arts, right? So I'm actually making 3D prints of training knives and stuff like that, so that I could use those for my students and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Is that what you're holding now? People can't see it, but is that one?
Yeah, I got. I don't know if you can see those.
Yeah. I can see them.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I could use those. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
It's funny to see Sue's Facebook responses where she's like, yeah, it's the Amazon guy again, just bringing more of this crap
into the house.
And that your machine is just constantly running. I thought that was hilarious.
I can't blame her. Yeah. I'm a big kid. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to do things to keep us busy, to keep us looking forward for stuff, right? There's a big difference when you see people who have things that they're passionate about and that capture their imagination, as opposed to people who just work and, you know, just come home and don't just watch TV or something like that. There's like a vitality that's added to people who have things they enjoy. So, I mean, I don't know how you keep up with, you've got the game boards, the comics, the, the longboarding, the martial arts. You do it all, bro. That's hilarious. Yeah. How do you have time for it all?
I want to keep busy, man. Like, not just busy, but I want to keep my mind busy, occupied.
Yeah, yeah.
Learning, doing something. And before, you know, before this longboardy thing, like, martial arts is a big part, right? I do that like at least a couple times a week, and can't really, I do it and I teach it, but it's not really the same when you're doing it on video and, you know, you're not hitting people, people aren't hitting you back. It's different, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's, so it's still okay, but it's different. But I figured this thing will give me like some new incentive to go out, work out half an hour, 40 minutes a day, you know, keep that up at least. And exercise, man, exercise is huge for positivity. At least I think so.
Yeah. So, I gotta do, you know, I that's something that I've got to do. I gotta start exercising. I do physical work, so I'm like on my knees and,
you know, yeah, doing stuff. That's different. I'm at a desk job.
Yeah, but you know what? Even still, the exercise, not getting that sort of movement. I used to play ball hockey and different sports and stuff like, and I haven't done it for a while, and I just got out of the habit of
longboard.
Yeah, like
do it. Let's do it.
Seriously, like you need to do something. Take up some type of a discipline, and you see a difference. Like especially people who practice martial arts, you hear it often. The discipline and the it's very humbling, right? Because you're always challenging yourself, and someone else is challenging you. And a lot of times, you realize, okay, that guy, he's got my number this time. Now I gotta figure out a way to improve. So doing those little things to, like you said, to learn, to challenge yourself. A lot of us don't do that. Like especially guys, we don't like not being good at stuff. So for you to pick up like longboarding and say, I might hurt myself, but every day there's improvement. It's good to do that. Like an instrument, something. So good for you.
I think you hit the nail on the head. People are scared not to be good.
Yeah.
You know, like they really are. Like people don't want to start something new because they don't think they're going to be good right away. No, you're going to be crap. But keep at it, you'll be all right. And it doesn't matter as long as you're having fun, to be honest. Like, I don't expect I'm going to be in the X Games anytime soon, but maybe the over 50 X Games. I don't know.
but it's true.
But I don't care. I'm having fun with it. I'm getting exercise in after, you know, I get these little, you know, improvements that, you know, first day I barely got on the thing. Second day I'm able to like putter around. Third day I'm able to push and, you know, stay on it for 10, 15 seconds. Fourth day, I'm going down the street with it. You know, like it's all these little things, these little victories.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, I think the key is you don't always have to look at someone else and compare yourself. Just compare yourself to your previous self, right? And try to get those little victories in.
Yeah. I think that term, getting those victories, that's so powerful for your mind because you look at, like you said, you look at other people around you, whether you're a writer, an artist, or even just working in some sort of physical type of work, and you see, oh, I can't do what they do. I'm not as good. But that's counterproductive. It's the fact that you did something that you were, was out of your comfort zone is already a win, you know?
Yeah, but if you've done something, if you're better than last week, then you win.
Yeah.
Right? You're still not, even if you're not great, who cares? Yeah. You know? But I get that it's harder. And I think age is also a thing about it, right? Like when you get my age, you just don't give a shit. Right? You know, it's like one of those things that I don't care. I don't care what people think. When you're younger, I think a lot of, you know, and everybody does. They have those social pressures where they're worried about how they're going to present themselves to the world. But, you know, you get to a point where it's like, I really don't care. I'm doing this for me at this point. So I do a lot of stuff like that just for me. And I put it out there, whatever. It doesn't, you know. I mean, I've had good things happen too. Like, you know, like when I started doing the podcast, I mean, you're one of the main reasons why I started doing the podcast, yourself and my buddy Kyle as well. But when I started doing the podcast, it actually encouraged someone else to start theirs because it's something they always wanted to do. And they're like, they started listening to mine and they're like, oh, hey, I could do this too. So that's a kind of cool thing. And you did the same to me, right? I felt like I could do it as well. So who knows? Maybe someone's going to pick up longboarding or something.
Well,
or something new.
No, I've said I agree with you 100%. I said to Daphne, shout out to Lady J, has been on the show for
Lady
many
J.
years. But and I think I said it to you on one of your
Critters. Your, Critters for Life.
That's right, Critters for Life.
The ultimate Christmas movie.
That's right. the way that you and your wife approach life, it is very inspiring because you you show that you appreciate it, right? It's something precious. It's not something that is at our disposal all the time. Nothing's promised. So to do the stuff, like why the heck not try it? Why not do that thing while we can? It's a good approach to life, and there's something very peaceful about that. Like you said, when you get older, you stop caring about what people think. You got to do things for you, and you got to experience things for you. That if you're worried about what everyone else's perception is, there's going to be resentment with yourself later, and you're going to try to find people to blame it on, and it's really going to be your responsibility to do that. Like the podcast, right? People say, "What's your end goal with the podcast?" And me and you became friends through the podcast.
Yeah.
That was a reward, and I'm not just saying that.
That's enough for me, man.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying that because you're on the show, but when you started your own show, I was like, I never would have thought that someone would have listened to my podcast and wanted to start one themselves. And then when I see you doing like Sketchomania, it's like this journey is so interesting to see what happens just because I wanted to podcast with my friend and, you know, bullshit. I ended up making friends with you and with Shane and all these other people that we like. Think of those couple first interviews you did, like Matt Kent and Jerry Conway. Who would have thought?
That was a rush, man. That was amazing.
Right? Yeah. And we were traveling to like Comic Cons together and interviewing people. It was so cool.
Yeah.
But you just have to kind of say, let's see where this takes us. And it's endless possibilities. So never know. You might be at the X Games, Martin. Over 50. Mm-hmm.
I know.
With Shane. Shane will have a sign in the crowd saying, "You suck."
Yeah, that's all right.
So we talked about, we brainstormed Sketchomania on one of your last podcasts, I think, from the summertime.
Yeah, and I think it was definitely not Shane's idea.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Anyway, we kind of talked about it. Honestly, I was kind of thinking, I wanted to do something because I knew there's a lot of people that were hurting, with COVID. And, a lot of people are still hurting. Like my martial arts gym is just, you know, crushed. A lot of small businesses have been crushed, going out of business, restaurants, all that sort of thing, comic stores, what have you. But I was like, you know, first, the way it started first was more like, hey, let's try to get a little bit of a semblance of, you know, missing the Comic Cons and things like that. Let's try to do something, you know, Comic Con-y and do like a sketch battle, that sort of idea. And the first ones were very small, and shout out to Shane. Like he's the guy that started it, him and Mike Ruth, right? They're the guys who started it and really carried through this. There's been a lot of guys that have been doing this, like Casey and folks that have been doing many of these. But then after that, probably when it started hitting like two or three, I started getting messages coming in saying that was awesome, I loved watching it, you know, keep, you know, hopefully you keep doing that, you know, it made me it felt like I was at a Comic-Con, and I was like, oh, okay. So then I'm like, maybe I could start using this platform to help different people. And we started doing it for charities, and then we started doing it for various Kickstarters to help them out, and it's been growing and growing, and I love it, man. We've, you know, from just a little thing, we've raised over like 12 grand this year for various charities and Kickstarters and things like that. So I'm pretty proud of it. It's not just me. Like I help pull it together, but it's, you know, it's a lot of artists that really, were generous enough to give their time and do this sort of thing. I do think a lot of them get a kick out of it too, though. Like, I think they have fun. Yeah. Talking to people. there's always that after show chat that we have where it's like, oh, that was cool, that was fun, guys, you know. So I think they do get a kick out of it too. And the one coming up is going to be sort of giving back to them. So what I'd like to do is, like, we've been doing various charities, some Kickstarters and stuff, and some of the Kickstarters have gone back to the artists. But the next one, really, I just want it to be like, you know, let's get together. Let's get, you know, a whole whack of people together. And I could go through the lineup if you want. It's crazy.
And
we're going to have an auction, and the auction money will go back to them. You know, like, it's hard for artists too this time. You know, they don't have those Comic Cons where they're getting those, you know, walk by commissions where they would have, you know, people have to seek them out, but the people might not really know them. So this is all going back to them. So I'm happy I have a little bit of a platform to help out.
Yeah. No, it's nice to, in some capacities, be mediators of good conversation, you know, positive energy and like you said, doing things for charity. And sometimes, you know, we're not artists, we're not comic book creators, but you start to realize there is a role that you kind of play in the scheme of it all when you give people a place to come to. And like in your case with the Sketchomania on Facebook, we tease you about not podcasting all year, but you've done almost, what, this is going to be 16, right?
Since
the summertime.
It's taken time. I won't lie. Like there's, you got to do more than people might think. It does take time to do these things.
No, but that's
some effort.
That's what I mean. Like it is a lot to put together and organize and get everybody, you know, hooked up properly. And there is a lot of effort to it. And then on top of that, after the show, all of the auctioning and doing stuff for the charity. So, I mean, good on you for, okay.
Following up with people.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, it is a lot of work. Those are, and you've done, I mean, the first ones were Shane and Mike, and then, but you're at what, like 20 people sometimes for a show?
Yeah. Like the biggest one so far has been, I think, the Cauldron one where we got
most of
the folks on that show. And then this coming up, I think will probably be the biggest one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been so shocked that people, it's funny, you just asking people and they'll say yes, right? Like I've had Marco Rudy on a couple of times. I got Yannick Paquette to be on it. Ken Lashley literally reached out during one of the shows and said he would be willing to do one, which was amazing.
That's so cool.
You know, we had Richard Pace, you know, Andy Belanger. We had just amazing, amazing artists do this. And, you know, like, it's crazy. I can't believe it. So I want to do it as long as people keep watching. I'm down for doing it, right? So
yeah, and I think it's not something that needs to stop when Comic-Con comes back and we have sketch duels. I don't think it needs to be this or that. It's with the everything that's happened in the last year and the cancellation of so many things, it makes us innovate, right? It makes us have new ideas of things we could do. And you know, Sketchomania is one of them. I haven't been able to tune into as many as I like because I fall asleep early at night. I'm a big baby.
Put you to sleep?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No. No, not at all. It's I start dozing off at 8:30, 9 o'clock. So I can't imagine doing that on one of those shows. Cause I know you guys, you let the artists draw. You know, you don't give them a time limit. Usually sketch duels are based on a schedule and 45 minutes to an hour and we're up. But you guys just go with the flow and there's no rush to it. So
well, we don't have to clear a room. You
right.
know, like at Comic-Cons, we could just like keep going. And I say, you know, we found the sweet spot to be about 2 hours. And, you know, there's some crazy, you know, like if you put a Ken Lashley on there, he did like three sketches in 2 hours, which is insane. But it seems to be the sweet spot for a lot. Obviously, people use different mediums. So like some of the painters, like Paul Lemenko, for example, like he's going to take a bit longer, but he's doing a painting, right? So, same with Casey, for example. But at the 2 hour point, I just say, hey, you know, if you got to go, you got to go. If you want to stick around, you know, we usually stick around for about another half hour sometimes and just chat. And most people do stick around. So yeah, it's up to them. And they could always finish their pieces on their time, and when we're ready, we'll auction them off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm excited for more of your Sketchomanias to be a success, and it's cool the networking that you get, because you're getting even some people on there who may not necessarily want a podcast, but they'd be happy to do a sketch duel, you know?
Sure. So, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I've met a lot of people through this, like, that I've never met before. So it's cool. Like, I've made a lot of friends through this. So, I'm super happy. I'm super proud of it.
You should be.
You know, it's not life changing, but it's, you know what? It helps. Like, one of the best feelings, the last one we did when we were able to raise over $1,000 to support a family this Christmas, that was amazing. You know, like,
yeah, but you do change a life. That I would have to disagree with you. It is life changing, yeah. Because somebody's holidays, their Christmas is going to be a Christmas that they may not have had otherwise if it wasn't for, you know, you doing something unselfish and of goodwill. So it is life changing. Actually,
yeah.
So yeah. You know, good
at least a part of it, right? And they got, you know, we got to do, like, we got to give them like at least $500 and, you know, food certificates and things like that, right? So they're gonna that should cover them for a little bit, and then they're gonna have presents and things under the tree, which is kind of nice. So stuff like that, it makes you feel good, right? We've had cases where, and I've had feedback, you don't kind of hear all this stuff when we do the Sketchomanias, it's more after stuff, but where we've had Kickstarters like on the brink, where we weren't sure if they were going to make funding, and not that it's all the Sketchomania stuff at all, it's obviously, but it's just that little bit that sometimes tips over the scale where they're able to do it. We bring those Kickstarters and those artists maybe to light to some people that didn't know about it, and they start making donations because they just heard about it because they're just tuning in.
Yeah,
right.
You're not gonna, like you said, maybe tip the scales completely, but I can attest to the fact that I've listened to a podcast of a artist or writer, someone who I did not care for at all, and after listening to them, I went out and bought their book because they were on the show, and I actually liked them. So it made me interested in their work, and yeah, they got my dollars. So similarly, if you see somebody on a Sketchomania, you're like, oh, that's what their work looks like, and that's what their, you know, personality is like. I'm going to support them. I like that person. It changes what you're aware of, right? Because Kickstarter, I've never gone on to Kickstarter myself to just search like I would, let's say, with Amazon.
Right.
Like, I know what
I do
it
all the time
for.
Now.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Is now you engage with that site and understand the projects and things a little bit differently. But for me, it's always been off of somebody I know on Facebook starting a Kickstarter, and then I click the link and end up there. But this is a game changer too, because we're always online now if we want to shop a lot of the times and buy stuff. And you can't go to your comic book store as easily as once upon a time. So right. Kickstarter is a great way to support even like people, you know, like Jeff Lemire and Matt Kinn, I think, did a Kickstarter in 2019 or 2020 that you can only get there. Like, why not look?
Yeah, I think I picked that one up. Yeah,
I missed that one and I regret it. But that's what happens when you go on the Kickstarter site. You see what people are working on. It's cool.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So it's been awesome. I want to continue doing it. What you were saying, like, Chris Campana, he came on my radar because of a podcast as well. And I just reached out to him on Facebook and chatted with him and, you know, and we became friends and things. So like there's a lot of those things happen. It's just getting the information out there. I feel though at this point, it's almost bigger than the platform I have. Like, it's starting to get bigger. I don't know. Like, right now I do it on the Facebook Live thing, but I might start reaching out a little bit further out, like putting it on YouTube, like YouTube Live and stuff like that. because we are starting to get quite a few people viewing it. Like I go back in and there's like 1500 views and stuff like that. Wow, and I'm like, oh crap. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So, and again, I, you know, it's not, you know, I don't really care about views and stuff like that, but if it gets the artists out there, maybe some artists that are on the brink, like there's some amazing artists, like, just Christopher Yao just comes to mind, right? Like Christopher Yao is awesome. And I think if people saw a lot of these folks' work, I think, you know, they'd be impressed by it. So it's hard to get out there when you're an artist, I think.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, you know? There are a lot of artists. You go to a Comic-Con and you can see how many people are trying to get work out there. So yeah, for sure. The platform definitely highlights people differently.
Yep, for sure.
So that's good. I'm happy for you, man. It makes me very... I'm going to jump back on one of them soon. I may not be very good at the 20-plus people.
You're going to be on the next one.
I don't know how good I would be with all those guests. I would probably get lost in who to what to ask. Or I mean, I could just watch. That would be good enough. But
Just jump in. Like, you know what? The way I see it is it's actually when there's more guests, the pressure's a little more off. Right, because there's so many people, there'll be a natural conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if you're one of three people, you know, you got spotlight. If you're one of 20 people, you know, you could kind of hide in the crowd a little bit, right? So it's you know, there's a few folks, and I'm not going to call them out, but you know, they were a little nervous about being on, and it's just like, you know, there's 20 people on there, man, do your thing, and you know, so. Anyway, yeah, I think you should jump on, man.
I do miss it. If the reason why I'm not on anymore, if we're going to blame anybody, is because Shane, he said it's no good with all these hosts. No, I'm just kidding.
Shane's not going to be on the next one, so it doesn't matter. He has no say.
No,
He was invited.
No, it probably... was a good idea to be able to focus with one host and have, because the real thing is the art and the artist, right? So probably it was a better decision in the beginning to do that.
100%.
I'm just distracted right now, Martin, because I'm looking at my dog and I'm not sure what it is she's doing or looking for. And as they get older, they become a little more peculiar. So that's why I'm looking away from you. But I'm zoned in. I'm tuned in.
All good.
One of the things that we used to do every year on your show was talk about movies and stuff that we'd be looking forward to coming out. And I don't pay as much attention as I should sometimes with the trailers and previews, but I did tune into all those Marvel announcements that had come out. Did you see Kevin Feige's YouTube? Or?
Yeah, of course.
Man.
It's amazing. I'm excited as hell.
Which one excites you the most? Because I can imagine which ones I would think you would like Shang-Chi. I never imagined they would make a Shang-Chi movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's one we knew about, and yes. I am super excited about it.
Yes.
I need to look at the rundown again. Hold on. Or do you have it handy?
I don't have it handy. I did watch it the other day just to get like a take or like a first look at stuff, because you hear the announcements, right? And with this past year, there was movies that never made it to theater because of the circumstance, and you kind of out of sight, out of mind a little bit because you just deal with what you've got. And this is the first, I think maybe the last movie I may have went to in 2020 might have been Bad Boys for Life. Maybe. I can't even remember. Wow. Yeah, because come March, when a lot of the movies in the springtime start to roll out and you get into the summertime, summer months, we had Wonder Woman and Black Widow. And what else was supposed to come out this year? Was it Eternals? And was the Batman movie supposed to come out?
No.
2020?
Dune?
Dune never came out?
Dune was supposed to be end of the year, yeah.
Trying to think, there was just so many. It was James Bond stuff that was like I was excited for, so I wasn't paying attention to some of the stuff that will be coming down the pike. I'm excited for Miss Marvel.
So I think one of the ones I wasn't expecting, and I think I'm not sure, is it a TV show or is it Moon Knight?
Yes.
Is that a TV show?
I think it's going to
be. Or is that a movie?
I don't know, because I feel Moon Knight would be better suited for a movie because you can get a little bit more experimental, whereas on Disney Plus, it might have to be of a certain, you keep it at a certain PG max.
I think they're changing that, though. Are they? I've heard Disney Plus is going to have a restricted, and I think they kind of have to. There's going to be some sort of restricted viewing thing, whether it's a separate, I don't think it's a separate streaming service, but maybe like there's Disney Plus and then there's whatever, Disney Plus After Dark. I don't know.
Well, maybe but they be could like just do else. Like a, maybe they could do like a parental setting, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that would be simple enough to do that, where this is for the kids account and this is the parental setting and that's it. I mean, you could do that with Netflix, right? I'm not sure. I don't have any settings on there.
I mean, there's so many, right? Okay, so there's the Quantumania, which is going to be great. Captain Marvel 2. Secret Invasion is going to be huge. They have so many options with Secret Invasion. Ironheart, which is where I thought they were going to go. Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that one.
Fantastic Four.
I would love for them to go into Fantastic Four and X-Men territory, since it's unexplored from a Disney perspective, like, or MCU. I don't want to say Disney. I don't want them to Disney-fy Fantastic Four, but under the umbrella where the Marvel Studios can work on these things. Like, you'll really, that'll be exciting. Fantastic Four. Oh my goodness.
And long overdue. Oh. The other one that's got me excited is Armor Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, that can be amazing. I mean, there's so much potential with that one. Like, that's – regardless of what the story is going to be like, it's just going to be eye candy for the whole thing, I'm sure.
And that's the thing, right, is that I think ever since Guardians of the Galaxy for me, I say this often, but it made me open to – all right, let's see what that is. Because Guardians, I had no investment in it at all. I almost scratched my head, like, why would they make that movie? This is going to be the first bomb. But now when I see things like Armor Wars or I don't know anything about Ironheart, really. I know that she's it's a female in the role of, you know, Iron Man, if you will.
Yeah.
And you know that it's going to be – if they're going to – go out to make a movie like that, you know they're going to put their best foot forward with Marvel. So I'm all of those things, like, wow, the balls you guys have to make that into a thing. Like, it's going to take a lot, but I believe that you're going to do it. Like, Secret Invasion is a big undertaking.
It's massive. Yeah, I mean, and that's what I love about this. They have so many different layers, right? They have like the big blockbuster cosmic Secret Invasion, and then they have Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Right, which is your street level, and Hawkeye, which is, you know, more your street level type. And then they have the quirky ones, She-Hulk,
yes.
Right, which could be spectacular, right? Like, there's rumors that, like, Matt Murdock might be in it as well because of the lawyer connection and things like that, right? So,
yeah.
You could see a lot of crossover going on. Miss Marvel could be amazing too.
I'm really excited for that because it looks like the book is pretty simple in its premise of a teenage girl, you know, trying to figure out her powers and feeling awkward about it. But her problems are simple. Yeah. Like, she's got a curfew.
Yeah.
And I feel that it looks as though they're sticking with that sort of tone, which will be so much fun to watch.
It's got sort of the heart of an early Spider-Man story.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Where she's got those real words. She's very accessible to people, I think. And I think a lot of people will connect to that character. If they do it like it is in the comics, but I have a feeling that they will. I think they'll get it right. So yeah, I think that's got a lot. And then like the Star Wars stuff is insane as well.
I can't think of anything better right now than Mandalorian. I really, every time I watch it, I just look at Daff and I go, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
that's been on my television screen. I can't believe how good this is every week.
The only other show that I watched, like, when it came out, like I used to when I was a kid, since everything's been on demand, I don't watch it when it comes out anymore. I just, you know, try to get two or three and then watch it in the row. The last one was Game of Thrones for me. So Game of Thrones and Mandalorian are the only two shows that I've sort of, you know, because I don't want any spoilers. I don't want to hear about it. I want to be surprised at everything I see. But I've been really, really impressed on what they've done with that.
I can't wait. Over the holidays, I've said to Daff, the one thing I want to do is watch Mandalorian from season one with both seasons completed and just binge both of them like that and just see what that's like. Because sometimes I watch, like every week when I watch it, I watch them Saturday afternoon. That's my sweet spot time to kind of watch it. And I need that that intro, like that previously on Mandalorian, because there's so much that happens and I'm like, oh yeah, that happened. Oh yeah, that's going on.
They pack a lot of stuff in those episodes, man. Like when you're looking at, and you're right, when they go back to like something in season one,
yeah,
you're like, oh right, yeah, like the last episode had a character from season one and you're like, oh yeah, crap, forgot about that character. But yeah, it's awesome. I hope they can keep it up. Not that I'm worried, but there is a lot of shows coming. Like, I don't know if they could keep it up, that sort of that level, I don't know, that level of greatness that The Mandalorian is. I don't know if they could do it, but who knows? Maybe they can.
For Mandalorian or for other shows?
For the other shows that are coming.
Yeah, it's definitely a high bar. There's a lot of content on Disney Plus as far as what's in their library. As far as new content, it's not as fast as I was hoping. Like I was hoping we would get WandaVision or Falcon and Winter Soldier quicker.
Yeah.
But Mandalorian is, that in itself is enough to pay for Disney Plus.
We are likely gonna get on a weekly basis like two Marvel shows and two Star Wars shows every week.
And it's going to be good. That's the thing.
Yep.
Like you feel totally confident that it's going to be everything you hope it is, and probably more, which is nice.
We're going to get the equivalent of two movies a week.
Yeah. Well, they say that the Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to play like one big movie when it's all put together. Yep. Six episodes, one big movie. I don't know how long the episodes are going to be, but oh man, that's exciting. I wonder what the not us as fanboys and fangirls, fan people, but the rest of society who have been along the ride for these Marvel movies that made them a huge success, because it clearly crossed over globally, right? But if they don't see the familiar faces, if it's going to affect the way that the movies, the success of them, like how, if they're going to be more something for us, or if they're still going to have that $1 billion crossover appeal, because now they're heading into territory that is much more based on like fandom.
I think no matter what the IP is, it's down to the story, right? Like, yeah. I'm not gonna, we can go back to some of the DC stuff, but, they have some of the most recognizable IPs around, right? Mm-hmm. DC.
Yep.
And I feel that, you know, going back to Guardians of the Galaxy, I didn't know much about them. I'm a comic book guy. I didn't know much about this version of Guardians of the Galaxy, let alone the other version of Guardians of the Galaxy. But now everybody does, because it was a good story. It had compelling characters and, you know, people identified with it. So I think that's going to be the same for a lot of these. I think the fact that we're also getting a lot of diverse characters, right? I mean, imagine like the change that Black Panther did. Like that wasn't just a film for a lot of people, right? That was huge. Like, is Shang-Chi going to be the same? You know, have that same kind of impact? Is Miss Marvel going to have that same kind of impact.
And you know what's
funny? You're going to have people that you know, as young people that look like them on the screen that are being superheroes that have the same problems that they do, right? It's, you know, it's a strong, it's a powerful thing.
But you know what's funny as you say that is when Marvel does it, I don't ever feel like they're doing it.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just so natural. And
it's not an agenda. It's not. I don't think it is. I mean, a lot of people will say it is, but it's not an agenda.
When Marvel does it, I just feel like that's their universe. Like, Kamala Khan doesn't feel like...
Yeah.
It just feels like... I really appreciate that they create new characters to reflect the times they live in without checking boxes, where I feel as though... Even with DC and some of the television shows, it's like change for change's sake or to make sure you did it.
Mm.
And it takes you out of it a little bit because sometimes you don't – like even with the Titans, I never got into the Titans show, not because of the diversity factor at all. It's just you've done things to the characters to change them so that I don't recognize who they are. Whereas with Marvel, Black Panther and Wakanda was a you know, Jack Kirby's imagination come to life.
Amazing, yeah.
And it was something that I think globally everyone could appreciate and relate to. And it did mean a lot for a certain culture who haven't really been represented in that fashion, but it didn't seem weird to me. And I think that I look forward to Miss Marvel being that way. And even, like, I don't even think of Shang-Chi and think of, oh, what this is going to... I'm so excited for the storytelling of it and how good it's going to be. And then everything else falls into... Because it's just so natural. There's a naturalness to it.
I agree, too. Like, I don't think... It's not an agenda, but to your earlier point, will people that are not big comic book nerds... appreciate these characters, and I think they will. I think again, it's a matter of do you, not necessarily do you associate with these characters, but do you it's all down to, do you feel that these characters are believable? Do you identify with what they're going through, even though they're, you know, like supernatural, whatever? That's outside of it, right? But a lot of it comes down to sort of those base issues that everybody has. And if you, again, if you have someone that might say, you know, look like you, or, you know, or have a very specific, like if you look at Miss Marvel, right? She has very specific issues that may be more identifiable by a different group of people, right? Because, you know, she's a little bit of that fish out of water, right? Coming to North America, for example. Whereas, you know, people might not have had those type of issues that have, you know, been here forever, et cetera. But it's really all down to, are they identifiable? Are, you know, do you believe that, you know, are these characters sincere? I think that's a big part of it.
I think
are
so
they
too.
Sincere?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if they're not sincere, you know, you'll smell it a mile away. Right?
And sometimes you sense it a little, I feel, sometimes I sense it more in the publishing aspect of comics, where things change or they you know, have some sort of an initiative to kind of catch up or make sure that they're crossing their T's, dotting their I's. But with Miss Marvel, it feels, I'm not a girl. I'm not Pakistani.
Yeah.
I'm not Muslim. I don't live in New York City,
right.
But I could relate to her because I was a teenager. Like it's done in a way where people who haven't been represented are represented now. So they're included, but no one's left out. No one feels left out. Like, that's not my character anymore. That doesn't that's the magic I feel of how Marvel and even Disney with the Star Wars franchise, like it feels that way.
Yeah.
No,
I'm,
I do a good job.
I'm excited for Willow.
Yeah, what's the plan for Willow? Are they redoing a movie?
I don't know. I mean, it's been one of those like kind of joking things forever because it's such a like a cult favorite, you know. And I don't know, but it's pretty great that they're doing it.
Yeah, I liked Willow as a kid. I remember when I watched Lord of the Rings as a teenager, I was like, this is like Willow, but just better. But it reminded me of that because I didn't read Lord of the Rings up until I saw the movie. But yeah, I love that. I love that movie as a kid. It was such a great adventure. But and I think if people who were there and who knew about it, they get it. They get the call. It's even like Masters of the Universe in a way. Like, you know, right. Why it's not as good as it could have been, but you know why it's pretty cool too, that it exists.
Obi-Wan Kenobi with Hayden Christensen. That's, I feel this is a huge chance for redemption too. I'm happy for the guy because he took a lot of crap for those films. He really did. And the fact that he had like, when he was announced, they had this overwhelming, you know, fan love for this guy. It was pretty cool. So, you know, they could really do a lot with that one. I mean, I've always more interested in an Obi-Wan movie than a Han Solo one, to be honest. But, yeah, it should be really cool. The fact that they brought Ahsoka out is crazy, you know. I don't know. It's a lot of stuff.
Stuff coming. I'm happy for him, too, the fact that Hayden Christensen gets another... Because I feel... What you see with Mandalorian, I was saying this to Kevin Boyd when we were talking, how it's kind of like that thread that connects all of the different eras of Star Wars and makes reference to them, brings in characters, because this middle ground that you know what to look forward to in the future, but it makes everything, it kind of reconciles whatever hangups you might have with stuff. And if like you said, it could be a great opportunity to give Hayden Christensen a bit of a different reputation than his whiny Anakin, which is, like, you know, there's a director there who's telling them what that's good, that's what I want. I doubt, you know what I mean.
Listen, Boba Fett has put so many more layers onto his character in two episodes of The Mandalorian than he ever did in the original trilogy. Like, he was always the cool guy in the armor that had about two lines. Now you really, like, he's got a character now. It's amazing. And if they could do that to Boba Fett, someone who literally has had like two lines in three movies years ago and then got thrown down a Sarlacc pit, imagine what they could do with, you know, Anakin.
What's kind of cool, too, like you bringing up Boba Fett, and, you know, now we're kind of into spoiler territory, but, you know, pardon us. But
it's too bad.
he's had so much of a legend behind him, and there's also the joke of the Sarlacc pit, but there's all of this. The whole premise of Mandalorian is on this legend of what we wanted to know about Boba Fett. Like, that's what piques our interest in Mandalorian to begin with, is him.
Yeah.
And to now see him exist in the universe. But it, for me, I don't know about, I can't speak for everybody, but it's far surpasses whatever imagination of his legend I had. I'm like, this guy is kick ass. Like, he's so sick in those two episodes. And I didn't have, other than, was he this? Was he that? He was the greatest bounty hunter. What's his history? You know, you saw a little bit of him as a child in those prequel movies, but it was kind of just left ambiguous. Like, you make it up. And then the supplementary, of course, the novels and the multimedia. But now to have, you know, something a little bit more, like, he did survive. He was looking for his armor. And the guy kicks ass. Like, he, whatever happened to him in that Sarlacc pit scene, that was just a blooper malfunction.
Yeah, I mean, like, and it's true, because if you actually look at those original movies, even though he looked like he kicked ass, like, he really didn't do very much.
No.
He got his ass kicked. Like, he really didn't do that much. All he basically set up a trap, and Darth Vader did everything for him, to be honest. But it's, I don't know. But yeah, but now you could really see what he could do, you know, all those little gadgets and stuff on his uniform. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of potential with these other characters, and hopefully we get to see that.
Yeah. It's cool when there's a property or a part of a property that makes you appreciate the other aspects of it as well. Like it adds something, adds a spoke to the wheel, as opposed to the last couple of Star Wars franchise movies left a little bit to be desired, right? Because our hopes were so high with The Force Awakens and what we had all hoped for, that we kind of got the original trilogy, you know, 2.0 in a way, but it kind of felt unnecessary, whereas these other shows feel, these are necessary stories. You're just adding to this universe things that I didn't know I always wanted or didn't know were there. So it's cool when something can do that. I think the Marvel movies were an example of that. I never knew I wanted certain movies made or imagine them to have certain characters. Like, really? You're gonna use that character? And then to see them come to fruition, you're like, I never knew I always wanted that. Even Iron Man, like, really. Out of all of the Marvel characters, how high was Iron Man on the list of movies you wanted to see?
No, you're right. It's what they had. They worked with what they had at the time. I mean, like, I hope I don't die skateboarding before I get to see X-Men. Like, that was my series. That's what really got me into comic books. Like,
I think hardcore, a lot of people.
Right? And I cannot wait to see what direction they're going to do. Unfortunately, they've burned through a lot of very key stories and not very well, like Apocalypse and Phoenix and things like that. I don't think that now that Disney has control that they're going to go back and redo it. Not that there's a ton of stories they could go with, but you know, it is a little bit unfortunate that we're not going to see them done properly, I think.
you know we'll what see. I think would be, I mean, they probably already have it all planned out and I don't know anything, but, or what I'm talking about, but I think with the X-Men, I would like to see a series, a TV show. I'd like to see it episodic as opposed to a movie franchise. I think Fantastic Four could be done real well with a movie franchise, whereas X-Men, I feel a lot of their stories and their character, the way they intersect with each other, it would be really well done in an episodic format where you can bring in a character or bring someone in for a special guest appearance or for four episodes, and you can really flesh out and earn the stories, because that's what I think made X-Men really special, is that when you read it for the long haul, you've earned a lot of these moments, and your connection to those characters are from reading so much of them as opposed to just these action-packed movies. They try to do it in you know, the Fox movies, and in the beginning, they were good for the time.
Sorry, yeah.
They were good for the time. We enjoyed them, but we really connected mostly to Hugh Jackman, right? We didn't really care about Cyclops or Jean Grey's storyline all that much. That when they tried to tell the Phoenix story, it was just to kind of see it. But it was still Wolverine at the centerpiece of them all.
Right. I mean, I'm one of the ones, to be honest, I'm really looking forward to is... And I'm not sure it's been officially announced or just fanboys saying stuff, but I believe Rogue is going to be the big bad with Captain Marvel.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Right? And that's great. That's a great way to introduce that character.
The proper way.
Yeah.
Right? The proper way. So, I mean, if they go into Eternals territory and we've already got Guardians and they're doing another Thor... I'm looking forward to the Shire Empire.
Yep.
Like that's a key element in the X-Men story too. And if you're going to go there, this is not X-Men, but what if there's an Adam Warlock somewhere in the future? Like, they could go anywhere. It's really cool. One of the ones I'm looking forward to quite a bit that I didn't think I'd... It's probably at the top of my list along with Ms. Marvel was Loki. Loki looks really cool. Yeah, they could do a lot with that. Yeah, and he's so perfect in that role. Like there's very few times where, I mean, we see it. You know, Tony Stark is a good example of a comic book character come off the page, but it's almost now you look at Tony Stark in the comics and you think of Robert Downey Jr. more than Tony Stark. Whereas Loki,
he's born to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Hiddleston
I think tried to become Thor.
Yeah.
Whenever it came out. Yeah. He tried out for the Thor role, which is interesting.
But he's pure Loki, like just perfection.
The Thor movie is going to be amazing. Love and Thunder.
Because they got Valkyrie back and Jane Foster, and who's the villain in that? I think they said it, and I didn't catch it.
Oh yes,
Gore, the God Butcher.
Yes,
Christian Bale. Oh,
and that has been one of my favorite storylines. Like, not that I know a lot about Thor, but that storyline was amazing when that came out. That got me back into that series, and I'm like, oh, the God Butcher. It's going to be amazing.
And that from the God Butcher, if they have Jane Foster in that movie, you know that they can then go into Jane Foster being Thor with that Jason.
Oh, and they will.
Oh,
yeah.
Just
they
will. And it's all earned, right? It's again, like you said, no agenda. This is all earned. This is all real comic book storytelling.
Yep.
You know, making,
so we were supposed to get Black Widow, Eternals, Shang-Chi, WandaVision. Oh, Doctor Strange was the other one.
Yeah.
Multitudes of Madness.
Yeah.
And then Love and Thunder. So those were kind of the ones that were probably delayed. But yeah, those are the big ones.
That's cool. So when what's the first movie that me and you are going to go watch in IMAX again when we can do
it? I don't know.
We've got to try to think positively, Martin. We got to think of that, have that hopefulness.
Well, I mean, Shang-Chi, I think, comes out early next year, like February.
Is it February 2021?
I think it's early, yeah. I don't think we'll be ready for that yet, but I'm not sure. I have to look at I don't know when the new ones are coming out.
Okay, fingers crossed. Let's anticipate at minimum Black Widow.
Yeah.
Let's plan for Black Widow. That seems like a springtime. Maybe the weather will be a little bit better. People have gotten vaccines a little bit more, so the chances of there being an issue as there is now might be lessened. So let's plan for that one.
Another one. What If?
Oh.
What If? That was one of my favorite series growing up.
But again, like the nerve of them to think that they could do a What If. And they're going to do it. And you know it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the trailer looked phenomenal. And doing it animated is brilliant. Because now they could go as cosmic as they want, without the additional expense, because it's animated, and they could just do whatever they want. It's great.
And it'll be interesting too to see how they play with what we already. Excuse me. What Ifs was always that stuff of, what if Wolverine actually beat up the Hulk or whatever the. You know,
what if
Phoenix lived?
Kill the Hulk. Or,
so we're gonna have that payoff of knowing these previous stories and seeing where they could have gone, or even how they affect things cosmically. Like, who knows if it's going to have any effect on the overall universe in some weird way?
And I'm holding out. I expect I'm going to predict it now in the next 2 years, maybe 3 years, we're going to hear about a Disney Conan movie.
Okay. That would be very, very cool.
I think we're going to hear about one. They just announced a Dungeons & Dragons movie with Christopher Pine. I expect that, now that they've had Conan, it's in the comic books. I can't imagine why they wouldn't go that route. I think we're going to see another resurgence in, like, depending on how Dungeons and Dragons does, but I think we're going to see another resurgence in the fantasy. Like, they always go in these little waves, right? You get, like, you know, the over-the-top action movies, and we have the wave of superhero movies, and then we have the, you know, the wave of horror movies, and maybe the fantasy stuff, movies are coming with Willow and yeah. all these other things coming out.
I think stuff, as weird as it is to compare it, like little primers, like Stranger Things, get people mm-hmm. a little bit more ready to, you know, go into that fantasy realm. Whereas yep. maybe some people wouldn't have thought of Dungeons and Dragons, because I never was a big Dungeons and Dragons person myself. I enjoy fantasy, but that show is built off of the, you know, the ideas of Dungeons and Dragons and the rules of it. So if they make that move, people who watch Stranger Things would probably now be more privy to watching that movie
yep.
had they not seen it, right? So I think you're right. I think it's time for them to do Conan justice, because it's never really, it's been listen, done, but never as good as could be.
I mean, listen, like Game of Thrones was massive.
Yeah.
You know, it was, yeah. you know, it really set the bar of, you know, will people buy into this? Yes, people will buy into this as long as the story is good. Right. If the story is good, it doesn't matter what the backdrop is.
Yeah.
If the backdrop is something that, you know, I grew up with, even better. Right. So it's going to be huge. Like, I think that's naturally going to be coming for sure. Yeah, we'll have to go back to the tape in 3 years.
Yeah. So, and much like when I would talk about BVS, maybe we'll go back to the tape. Remember when we were excited for that thing and it turned out to I don't think that'll be the case. I don't think that'll be the case this time.
That's yeah, good. So I think that'll be pretty big. Yeah. If they do stuff like that. So it's a lot of cool stuff coming down.
We gotta stay positive. That's the key, right? Stay positive. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah,
well,
for sure. I think one of the cool things about like those sort of IPs is that even though maybe not everybody knows about it, the world building's already done, right? Like Dungeons and Dragons has been around since the 70s. You know, like they've got like thousands of books and thousands of things that they could draw upon, stories they could draw upon, and characters they could draw upon, right? Like even the What was the recent sort of horror or the take on the horror? Lovecraft County. Really, really cool series. Not really based on Lovecraft stories, but a lot of the characters, a lot of the creatures and a lot of the lore were in there. So I think they could do a lot with that stuff because it's all there. It's just picking and choosing what you want to pull out as opposed to creating something from scratch.
And I think to your point, there's a generational thing of people who are your age and my age who grew up with certain things, and it's such a part of their childhood, to also people today who are into those types of games, and even the where people have come with the video gaming world, right? There's this definite niche of so many people across the board who would be interested in this. So it spans generations now, as opposed to it just being like, oh, only these guys or only these nerds are into that. Now it's everybody wants to see the latest Marvel movie. It's the one thing people would be willing to go to the theater for because it's going to be worth your dollar, right? Sure. So
I'm you know what, I'm disappointed, not disappointed. Like I want to see it. I want to see Wonder Woman. I would love to have seen Wonder Woman in the theater. You know, there is just nothing like that experience of being on in an IMAX on opening night for me. But hey, you know, I mean, we'll take it, right? I'll still watch it.
Yeah,
I'll still watch it on Christmas Day. However, I'm going to be able to do that, but.
Yeah, it's not the same. But I to your point, again, the experience of watching Black Panther opening day in IMAX, it was that and the Infinity War. But something about maybe where we were sitting with Black Panther, it was just perfect. It was just the perfect movie experience of... Yep. the screen, the ambiance, everything about it was just wonderful. And yep. There is something, people may not, because now we all have our little home theaters, we build these movie theaters in our houses, in our basements, sure. in our man caves, but there's something about that feeling of going out, meeting up with your friends, and watching that thing collectively as a culture that changes, or you feel what they intended it to be, right, when you watch it that way.
Like the scene in Endgame, I'll never forget the scene in Endgame when Captain Marvel gets... Captain America picks up Mjolnir.
Oh.
Right? And, like, I'll never forget that. And I'll never forget, like, the crowd erupted during that. And when everybody starts, you know, on your left, and everybody starts coming in through the portals, like, it was kind of magical. It was pretty awesome being in that theater during that time. Because we were all just, like, mouths gaping and just couldn't believe it. Like...
It is. Yeah. It's a religious experience, right? It's like when you go to a concert and that song yeah. plays and everybody has a story associated yep. with it's that true. Guitar riff, and we all feel it suddenly in a similar way, but having all very individual moments with it. You grew up reading these comic books, and you remember when in that Thor issue when Ron Frenz drew Captain America picking up the hammer. And it seemed yep. like, you know, just a monthly issue. Well, okay, that's the story. But to know where that sort of moment comes from and then to see it on film, I don't know. The little kid in you and the collective consciousness of everybody, it's just there's something special about it. It's very special.
What do you think about Spider-Man? All the announcements.
I've always been seeing stuff on the Facebook or Instagram of news, and I wasn't sure if it was just people like just rumors, but to see that they're going to make it yeah. meta and make everything count, man, that's
pretty bold.
It's very bold, and again, the nerve that they have to do that, but. They kind of did it with the Miles Morales, right? The spider, yep. yeah. And so when I saw
they pulled that off,
and they kind of made references to, oh, I'm this guy, and I also did this. And it's like, hey, I remember those things in different spots, and you realize that it's all Spider-Man, or it's all
yep.
all of these Batmans count. Like, it's kind of cool when they give some sort of credence to what your favorite version was. Yeah, that still counts. Even though yep. a lot of people hate it, your version that you liked still matters. So to see them, I'm interested to see how they're going to make it work. It'll be very cool.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's something though. Holy cow.
Multiverses. We're in the multiverse territory.
Yeah.
Remember when they used to put everybody in black leather because costumes were silly?
Oh my God, DC.
Right?
DC, get your shit together.
I don't know.
They are the kings of multiverse.
Right? That's what I mean. Like, their whole thing is built off of a multiverse, and now they maybe they're going to do it, but I just feel like I'm lost. I don't watch any DC television. I love DC comics, but I
yeah.
their TV shows,
you know what? I rag on it, but Watchmen was... one of my favorite shows last year. Yeah. Watchmen was incredible.
I watched that off your recommendation, and it was yeah. as good, if not better, than you hyped it to be. It really yeah. was.
Yeah, Watchmen was fantastic. Like, I did not think they literally made the story even better.
Yeah,
you know, going back to that original story.
Yeah, they did.
What they did at the end of that, and how they explained things from the original Moore story was. Even better.
Yeah, no, they did.
There's others, you know, other, like I love The Boys. Have you watched The Boys yet?
Season one. I'm on to season okay. two now.
I think that's done very well. And I think it was very timely, and it's super political. And I think it touched on a lot of things very cleverly around US politics and things like that. But I think that's a great one as well.
Yeah.
So it's there. There are things. Although The Boys isn't DC, but
yeah, no, Watchmen is. But see, I think that's the thing is DC. It's almost like they're trying to make Teen Titans like The Boys, and that's not what Teen Titans is. They take these characters and they're trying to cater it to an audience to appease them, but it's like that's not what the character is. Why are you changing it in order to, get people into your edgy universe? That's the part of that I don't understand. Just make if the character's silly, make the character silly. That's what they're supposed to be.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Just stick with the essence of it. But I liked Arrow the first couple seasons. I enjoyed The Flash. It just became a little bit too much with
everything. I thought The Flash was pretty good.
The Superman show is coming out next year. That'll be – I'm definitely going to tune into that because I'm a Superman sucker. Mm-hmm. But
the crossover ones that they did were pretty fun.
I think that's the thing. With Marvel, you can watch just the Avengers movie and it plays well. But the more you watch, it pays off. Whereas with DC, I don't know if – do I have to watch that in order to appreciate? That's the difference. Where this there's this chore to watch this in order to watch that. That's where I get kind of I can't be bothered.
Crazy.
Yeah, but look what we're complaining about. All the good stuff that we get to watch. So that's a good problem to
plenty
have.
Plenty of things, man. You got plenty of things to watch.
So. Just before we wrap up, let's once again plug Sketchomania, the next Sketchomania coming up.
Yeah. Sketchomania is coming up.
What's the date and who's going to be on it?
All right. Yeah. So let's hold on. Got to get the lineup here. I want to get it right. Hold on. All right. So it's coming out this month on the 29th. The theme is going to be 2020 post-apocalyptic end of year. sending it off in a blaze of glory. So folks that we currently have on, Richard Pace is going to be joining us again. So he's a favorite of one of the Sketchomanias. Joseph Osei-Bonsu is going to be on there. Mark Williams, David Cutler. So it's actually David's first Sketchomania. I think he's the only one it's going to be their first Sketchomania. Which is very cool. He just recently had his first Marvel book out, right?
Yeah,
Jason Toskowitz is going to be in it. Dominic Chenier. Jedi Ross is going to pop in for a little bit. He's going to help co-host. Mike Ruth, Sharon Gauthier is going to be there. Colleen Temple, Jonathan Kochiba, Casey Parsons, Becca Kenzie, Ricky Lima, Sam Agro, Chris Campana is coming back for this one as well. Paul Emenko, Keith Grichow, Sam Noir, and maybe you're going to show up.
That's the one everybody's waiting for. You say maybe you'll show up.
Special.
That's a great
make
lineup.
Or break. Eric, the Vigilanthony, Anthony.
That's right, the Vigilanthony. That's a great lineup, and I really wish you guys all the best of success with everybody's auctioning and ending the year off on a really good positive note. That's great.
Yeah, check it out. It'll be fun. And you probably have a good chance of getting some awesome art out of this as well.
That's right.
For ridiculously low prices.
That's right. So anybody listening to the Cave of Solitude, make sure you check out Fastball Special. We're family shows. We're related. So you tune into the Sketchomania hosted by Martin, and it'll be definitely worth your while. If you've never been to a Comic Con, no, I'm not the pod father, not at all. I'm more like the pod brother. That's about it. All right, dude. Thank you. Thank you for doing this with me. Finally, we got a chance to do it. We got to do it soon. Soon. And maybe when The Mandalorian ends, we'll give it a review show, something like that.
All right. Maybe I'll do a podcast.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll do a New Part Year's two. Podcast. That's right.
It's been a little while.
All right, dude. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Take care.